is Eric Sinrod at Duane Morris in San Francisco, along with...
It's Jonathan Armstrong, live from a darkening London.
Anyway, we're back at you with our weekly Tech Law 10 to update you on interesting and hopefully fast-breaking developments where the law and information technology intersect. So this week, Jonathan, why don't we talk about data security? What can you tell us right now that's on your mind in that area?
Well, absolutely. It's talk of the town here in London, actually. We've had quite a big incident breaking over the last week or so, and it's probably, it's got a number of lessons for us, I think, both as lawyers and as business people. So why don't I just tell you a bit about it? There's a firm of lawyers here called ACS Law, and they've made quite a name for themselves in taking cases on behalf of rights owners against people who have, in their view, unlawfully downloaded materials. And some of the mainstream studios don't want that much to do with what they do, so they use forensics to work out who's been downloading files and then write them a letter and demand some money from them. A lot of the mainstream studios don't want to get involved because they think that the letters look a little harassing. So they've ended up acting on behalf of a random bunch of people, some of whom are respectable, but pornographers as well. And these letters would generally say to people with home wireless networks that somebody's used their wireless network to download, and then they'll give the title of a film from which it's obvious what the content might be, and demand some money for having watched the movie. Now, obviously, first lesson for most people is that home wireless networks generally aren't set up in a secure manner, and so a lot of people have been troubled, I think, unnecessarily because people have hacked into their home network, or they've had kids back from college who've been looking at materials that they shouldn't have. And undoubtedly, there are some innocent people who've got these letters. Anyhow, to cut a very long story short, a group of hackers became a little annoyed at the way in which this law firm were approaching the matter, and they attacked the law firm's system. The guy who runs the law firm, I think, in retrospect, said some fairly unwise things, effectively goading the hackers and saying that this wasn't his greatest concern, and you know, he could fix things in the time it took him to queue for coffee at Starbucks and this type of thing. Net result was that the hackers decided that they would have another go, and one of the interesting things they did was they seized a lot of documents from the law firm, including emails from the lawyer asking people whether he really should buy a new Ferrari that year, caused him some embarrassment, caused a regulatory inquiry both by our Bar Association and by the Data Privacy Regulator, and quite a bit of pressure group action as well, saying that they should be prosecuted. Just the wrong time for the law firm, because, as I think you know, Eric, recently the UK increased the potential monetary penalty to £500,000. I guess with the weak pound, that must be about $20 million, is it? So just the wrong time for him. Now, of course, we don't know whether he's done anything wrong or not, but it strikes me that there's a pretty tough test under our Data Protection Act in the UK, so you have to have taken all reasonable measures, and it's hard to see how you could have taken all reasonable measures and be subject to an attack, which the hackers seem to be saying was pretty simple. So I think certainly information security is headline news here. The case was in court again this week because it's embarrassing for some of the large ISPs and one of the major broadcasters here, because it seems that they had cooperated with this law firm to hand over details of these people's home broadband accounts and what they'd been looking at. So it is headline news, and I think puts information security, you know, right at the front of everybody's attention over here in the UK. I mean, in the US, would that be dealt with a lot differently?
Well, here, you know, one of the issues is, you know, breach notification. You know, when a company, you know, suffers, you know, a breach when it comes to the security of particular data, you know, under what circumstances and how must the company, you know, provide, you know, notice to its customers? And the issue we're grappling with here is that, you know, the federal government hasn't really come forward yet with sort of one overarching law in this area. So the states are coming to the fore and passing their own laws and, you know, considering different remedies and the like. And the problem with that, of course, is, you know, the Internet knows no geographic boundaries. So in a particular state like Massachusetts enacts a law having to do with data security, how far is its reach and, you know, who does it govern? And we saw this is reminiscent of the situation back in the early 2000s when everybody was upset about, you know, email spam, unsolicited commercial email, and the filters weren't there in place to, you know, block most of that at the time. It's gotten better now as a matter of technology, but back then people were outraged at how much, you know, disgusting spam they were receiving, and the federal government hadn't acted, and at one point up to 26 different states had their own separate laws on how to grapple with unsolicited commercial email. At that time, I essentially advised companies to comply with the law of Delaware because it was the most strict. You could even face potential jail time. If you could comply with Delaware's law, you were probably safe. Then Congress acted and came up with the CAN Spam Act of 2003 and created some, you know, federal uniformity. There wasn't complete preemption, though, because if a state went farther than the federal law, potentially those rules would still apply. And maybe we're going to see this here in the United States, as we did with respect to spam, that the federal government will have to, you know, enact some more uniform standardized rules relating to breach notification.
Fascinating. I mean, I think that there are moves to try and bring some uniformity in Europe as well. Obviously, all of the 27 member states in the EU have different rules on things like breach notification. At the moment, the UK government just opened their consultation. It closes in December on potential new data breach notification laws in the UK. The catchily titled document, Implementing the Revised EU Electronic Communications Framework, Overall Approach and Consultation on Specific Issues, is bedside reading for many of us at the moment. but it's in... It's interesting to see that there is a move to try and consolidate the law and, I guess, bring clarity on both sides of the pond.
And I think sometimes people have a perception that, you know, data breaches and hacking can be very, you know, sophisticated and very nuanced. But often the problem we face here is, you know, there's sensitive information contained on a laptop. Unfortunately, the information is not encrypted. Then the laptop goes missing, whether, you know, accidentally lost, you know, left on a train or stolen. But there's been a surprising amount of data that's been gone in the wrong direction simply because of misplaced, you know, portable devices.
Yeah, and that always surprises me, really. I've been involved in quite a few of those breach cases and advised quite a lot of organizations in that position. And the reality is, I think, these issues are, you know, really quite easy to solve. I've one client that's a pretty clever software solution that will lock down the laptop if that happens. BIOS encryption is another obvious thing that a lot of people forget to do. And the statistics are shocking. I think there's a Pernamon study, I think Larry Pernamon did May 2010. 86% of organizations have had a laptop stolen. Data encryption in only 41% of cases. Average cost of a breach, $2.5 million. And I think your airports alone, I saw some figures, a survey in 2008, I think, of U.S. airports, even in 2008, 15,500 laptops were lost in U.S. airports from people putting it in the security scanner and not picking it up on the other side. So I'm always staggered. I can see how people do it, but that's obviously a risk that every corporation faces and a really easy one to fix.
Right. And I've also written on the topic of how you can have Wi-Fi hotspots and information can be sort of sucked away inappropriately through Wi-Fi, but that's another topic. Well, this has been another Tech Law 10 for you. We should probably wrap it up, try to keep it concise in terms of time. As we've talked about in the past, we certainly welcome comments and questions and ideas for future podcasts as well. My email address is ejsinrod, E-J-S-I-N-R-O-D, at duanemorris.com, D-U-A-N-E-Morris.com. Jonathan, your contact information is?
J.P. Armstrong at duanemorris.com. You can find us both on Twitter and on LinkedIn as well.
And Facebook.
Okay. Indeed. Great to speak with you again, and we look forward to speaking to you again in a week's time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.